Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Find Yourself, the new single from Punchline, is out now.
I'll lead or I'll follow, I just want to get there. If anyone knows better, then please show us out of here. I'm not saying I know, but I see the next step. If that's all we can get, then it's better than zip. This is not junk, man, this is a fight. Trying to find yourself in the right place, the right time.
Listen to Punchline's Find Yourself on Apple Music, Spotify, and everywhere you stream music.
Better way to spiritually connect to your ancestors than by sitting around a fire, sipping on some moonshine, and listening to the 1998 single Hooch by the band Everything. Our Patreon sure thought it sounded like a good idea because they voted for it. But do we think Hooch is the sweetest thing in the world, or does it leave a bitter taste in our mouths? Stick around to find out everything you ever wanted to know about Everything.
Who got the hooch? Baby, who got the only sweetest thing in the world? Who got the love? Who got the freshie? Who got the only sweetest thing in the world?
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
Matt, do you got the hooch?
No.
No.
Not here. So this was a Patreon one for us. Patreon decided that we need to talk about Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And by Everything, we mean the band that formed in James Madison University in 1989. This band, I'm not sure if you noticed this in your research, a lot of parallels to last week's episode with Jellyfish as far as just like time that the band was formed, where it charted. Like there was a weird symmetry where when I was updating my notes, I was like, I don't really have to change a few things here.
Hmm.
One is way more beloved than the other one, though, ultimately.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll keep my opinion to myself about that that comparison. But, yeah, Hooch, I assume you like this song because of The Water Boy?
So, let me take you back. So, the year is 1998. I took the time to go through the charts and just pull up a couple songs that were, like, not in the top 10, but were just like scattered amongst the charts that would have also been on rock radio at this time. So I'm listening to Y100. That's my go-to station. And I'd be hearing Hooch by Everything, along with Eagle Eye Cherry's Save Tonight, Eve Six's Inside Out, Natalie Imbruglia's Torn, Third Eye Blind's Jumper, and Sean Mullen's Lullaby. A lot of future or past episodes scattered amongst there. But I didn't really like this song as much as a lot of those other songs. Like, I immediately loved the Eve Six song. I immediately loved Sean Mullins and Third Eye Blind and Torn. This was kind of just there. I didn't pay too much attention to it. But then one day I was feeling particularly nostalgic, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I decided to make a Spotify playlist called Y100 because that radio station went away in early 2000, and it was literally just a playlist of every single song that would have gotten played on Y100 during the time that I was listening to it between like 1991 and 2001. Some major hit songs, some minor hit songs, but just anything that was a release single in the 90s that would have been considered alternative rock got put on this playlist. And that's usually what I have playing in my house, is I'll just turn on the Y100 playlist and shuffle it. And for whatever reason, Hooch kept coming on, because Spotify shuffle feature is not the greatest in the world. It kind of grew on me. So I figured I'd put it up for a Patreon vote. I'd let the patrons decide if we talked about it. And if we did, it'd be an excuse for me to figure out, was there anything else that was even remotely enjoyable about the band, everything? And I'll hold my thoughts on that for now. But I'm curious about you. I told you that we were doing this song, and you immediately were like, the Who Got the Hooch song? So obviously you knew this one from before. Yeah, I picked it.
It was pretty unavoidable. This song, for anyone who doesn't know, when they say Hooch, if you're from Virginia, I mean, in general, people might say Hooch to refer to any sort of hard alcohol. Particularly in Virginia, I believe they are referring to moonshine, correct?
And I believe so. Yeah.
The song in general is about nothing more than getting off work, hanging out with your friends by the fire, and sipping on some hooch.
Yeah, nothing too heady.
I got to stop you right there. Nothing too heady. First verse is all about getting off work, sitting down by the fire with your friends, drinking hooch. The second verse, the party hits its groove, and you're with your friends and you're feeling good. But, Matt, you say there's nothing heady about this song. Well, the last lyric of the second verse is the dance of all who came before, which adds a whole level of depth and mystery. It kind of connects, you know, the campfire session, sip and hoop, to the history of the entire human race, presenting it as a tradition, reconnecting us to our ancestral past, meaning that for centuries and centuries, humans have sat together around the fire, sipping on hooch and enjoying each other's company.
I like that. Is that a Chris Vesalius original?
I don't know about that. It could have been something that I saw people discussing on the internet, or we could pretend that I made that up. But Matt, I don't mean to call you out here, but I believe, if I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe you ever sipped on hooch.
No.
Is that right?
I've never sipped on hooch. I've never sipped on alcohol, period. But most certainly not moonshine hooch.
Well, if you ever decide to sip on hooch, first of all, if you ever decide to do some sipping, let it be hooch, because obviously it'll reconnect you to your ancestral past.
Yes. Well, I'll be sure that when there finally is another Chris Vesalius party, if at that point I decide it's time for me to finally drink, I'll look at you and I'll say, Chris, who's got the hooch, baby?
Oh, yeah. I look forward to that day when you ask me for the hooch.
Another thing that I have to bring up with the lyrics of this song is that, again, this is 1998. I'm like 12, 13 years old at the time that this song's all over the radio. I don't know what water breaks the levee means, and I'm not totally paying attention to the lyrics. So for years, I thought that it was the dumbest lyric in the world, because I thought that it was, let's get real, let's get heavy, to what a great celebby. As in, like, a local celebrity, and just like, you know, they have their hooch and they're just like, let's hear it for this guy, he's such a great celebby. Which, side note, not a word. Like, there's never in the history of the world been someone referred to as a celebby, except in my 13-year-old mind when listening to Hooch on the radio. When I finally realized it was Water Breaks the Levee, once I made that playlist, I was like, that makes a trillion times more sense than whatever my dumb teenage brain thought that lyric was.
Interesting.
But that being said, Chris, I would say that you're a Pittsburgh celebby. So I'm not sure if you want to, like,
a celebby.
I'm not sure if you want to carry that around, you know, change your Twitter profile or anything, but
Pittsburgh celebby Chris Vesalius. Right now, my profile, I believe, is American basketball player Chris Vesalius. And I forget why I made it that. I made it that at one point because I believe I was making fun of someone who referred to themselves as something that they would definitely not be known for.
Yeah.
I figured, I play basketball once in a while. I'm American. I can refer to myself as American basketball player Chris Ofalius. Why not?
Before we were friends, and I really just knew you through Jonathan and the Men in Their 30s Only podcast, I knew you as a bassist and a deck hockey enthusiast. That was the only things I knew about you.
Wow, you mean that we weren't even that good of friends back when I was playing deck hockey?
Not really. Like, I think we exchanged messages, but I'd only met you once when we went and got tacos with Jonathan when I was living in LA.
Wow. I feel like I've known you forever. And B, it doesn't feel like that long ago that I was playing deck hockey all the time.
But it was early Men in Their 30s podcast, so it had to be close to like 8-9 years ago.
Wow. Passage of time, man.
I know. It's wild. So let's talk a little bit about this band. They formed in 1989 when they were in college. By 1992, they were a full-fledged band. One of the things in Wiki, which I do think is pretty impressive, for over a decade, they played 200 to 250 shows every year, which means that, I mean, Chris, you're a man who likes a band that pays their dues, and that most certainly sounds like dues being paid.
Yeah, that if that is true, that's an insane touring schedule.
Yeah.
Unless they were playing multiple shows per day, which maybe they were, but that's a lot.
That's a lot.
8 to 9 months of your life for a decade straight. That is insane.
And
we're just believing Wikipedia on that.
We're trusting Wikipedia on that. But even then, like, at least half, if not more, of that time period is also as an independent band. So it's not even like they're having like a label backing or anything for a large chunk of that. They released 3 independent albums. Spotify has 2 of the 3. One of them sounds like it's just a live album of songs that later appeared on their later records. And then they signed to Capricorn Records, which I wasn't fully familiar with that record label. I'm not sure if you are at all, but I looked into who would have been on Capricorn at the time that everything was signed. It looked like at that point, their 2 biggest selling artists on Capricorn were Cake and 311, which I can kind of see like them all kind of like everything kind of fits somewhere in the middle there. But I don't know about you, I got a real like Dave Matthews Band vibe when I listened to the rest of this band's music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
that's what you would think. I mean, they met in college. That's what I kind of thought, is maybe they were doing the college party circuit. Any of us would be happy to have a hit, but you would think with that much legwork and that much seed planting everywhere, that if you got that hit, you'd have a couple follow-ups.
Yeah. Well, I think that they got caught up in one of those classic record label merger situations that have, you know, ruined many a band, because it seems like they had this album, Supernatural, come out. And, like, let's keep in mind, while both you and I are talking about how inescapable this song was, it peaked at 69 on the Hot 100. Like, it wasn't nearly the massive hit that I feel like it could have been.
Wow, that's not that high.
Not at all. Now, that being said, it seems like 1998, we're talking like, that is the peak to me of like the music bubble, where there were just so many bands. Because I'm looking at even where they fell. I've been trying to do more of seeing, like, where was this song sandwiched between for the ones that didn't even crack in the top 40, to kind of get a rough idea. And this song at 69 was caught between Tupac Changes and Blackstreet featuring Maya, Mace, and Blinkety Blink, which is the worst rap name I've heard in a long time, with their song Take Me There from the Rugrats movie. Both of those were also pretty big songs. I imagine both of those songs also rose higher than that at the charts. But we're talking about like Tupac is debuting at 68 with Everything Hooch debuting beneath it at number 69. And then in the top 10, the number one song at the time was the R. Kelly Celine Dion collaboration, I'm Your Angel, which I have no recollection of this song at all.
Neither do I. R. Kelly, Celine Dion, I never would have thought.
No. But then a few of the other songs in the top 10, I do think you remember and know, specifically Lauryn Hill's That Thing, Shania Twain from This Moment On, and the Goo Goo Dolls, Iris, were all also in that top 10. So that's what I'm saying. Like, 1998, you've got a lot of moving parts happening in all these different genres. I think I want to say that in the later half of the 90s is where you had the most genres crossing over into that mainstream top 40 thing. Because comparatively, like the Jellyfish episode, if you look at that chart at that point, it's just like straight pop music still on the Billboard charts. But this time you're getting like a wild tapestry of like R&B, folk, punk, rock, hip hop, and then whatever everything fell into.
It's just a fun, mellow song to kick back and drink beer to.
Yeah, I don't hate this song. I don't have an opinion of this song ultimately, but it's definitely not disdain. We've talked about songs that I straight up remember being annoyed by at a certain point. This was just background noise. It's perfect background noise, actually.
I figured you liked this song because it was in the TV show Scrubs.
So I couldn't remember if it was in the show Scrubs. I did write that down when I saw that. There's a character on the show named Hooch, and I was getting that blended in my brain a little bit. It was also on My Name is Earl, the Clueless TV series. So it appeared in two different shows featuring Donald Faison. And also a very short-lived, underrated show called Raising Hope. Did you ever watch Raising Hope?
I think I know what it is, but I don't think I watched it.
Okay.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it. Now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code 150 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code 150, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not.
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the what?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
Well, Matt, even though you're not a drinker, what other songs about sipping on hooch come to mind? And where does hooch lie in comparison?
Let me think. Man, I wish I had thought about that in advance, because I'm sure there's so many, and now I'm just like blanking.
Well, I can think of a few.
Throw a few out there. Get my brain juices flowing a little bit.
Well, one of the first ones I think of is Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville.
Okay. I would put Hooch above Margaritaville. As much as I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan, I'm not a fan of that specific song as much.
You're a Jimmy Buffett fan, huh?
I enjoy his greatest hits album. The songs you know by heart. It's got some good ones. Cheeseburger in Paradise is not bad.
What about Red Red Wine by UB40?
I mean, I know you love Red Red Wine. Yeah, I guess that is about people hanging out and drinking. So, yeah, I'll take it. I'll put UB40 above Hooch by everything.
How about Jaquan Tipsy? A song we covered on One Hit Thunder before.
I think I'd actually rather listen to Hooch over Tipsy, as much as I enjoy the beat and the chorus to Tipsy.
Okay. How about Tub Thumping?
I mean,
that's a song about drinking.
I'll take that all the way to the top. That is literally the song about drinking with your friends.
Gotcha. Well, I can't really think of any more off the top of my head.
Let me see. I'm going to do a quick Google. Songs about drinking with your friends.
How about TikTok by Kesha?
Oh, TikTok's a good one.
You could brush your teeth with a bottle of Jack or a bottle of Hooch.
So actually, first song that pops up when I search songs about drinking with your friends, Garth Brooks, Friends in Low Places.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not much of a country guy, but I would say that's not that bad of a country song.
No, I'm a fan of that. Also, I found a list of best drinking songs ranked. Number one, Beastie Boys' Brass Monkey.
What? Who's making this list? That's ridiculous.
Timeout.com chose that list. Number two was Streams of Whiskey by the Pogues.
Don't know it.
Number three was Gin and Juice by Snoop Dogg. That's a pretty good option right there.
All right.
Four was White Lightning by George Jones.
Don't know it.
This isn't necessarily about drinking with your friends, but sure to be a future One Hit Thunder episode. Number seven, Tequila by the Champs.
Okay. The song that makes me think of Pee-wee Herman dancing.
Yep. Number eight, Too Drunk to Fuck by the Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs to sit around a fire and drink some hooch with my friends.
I'll stop here, but the last one I saw was Chance the Rapper, All Night, at number 12.
That's funny. That song is on my playlist that I call Songs That Move Me, that I just am always adding songs to. And when I put it on shuffle, I mean, it has 500 songs. I hear that song every time I put it on shuffle, and it's not necessarily that good of a song.
That's
I don't know why.
That's what Hooch is on my playlist. It doesn't matter. I have over 700 songs on that playlist, and it doesn't matter when I hit shuffle. Hooch will be one of the first five songs that plays on that playlist. I don't get it. Because, yeah, it's a fine song. It's not the best. I kept scrolling. There are two more that are worth calling out. One that actually, yeah, I do. I would say that this might be my favorite song about hanging out and drinking with your friends. Flogging Molly's Drunken Lullabies. That song just gives you the vibe of just hanging out with a group of friends as they're getting drunker and drunker.
I don't think there's any situation in life where I would ever put on Flogging Molly. I don't ever see myself in a situation.
See, and I love me some Flogging Molly. And then, ironically, the first Jimmy Buffett song on here, not Margaritaville, but his song, Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, which is probably one of my favorite Jimmy Buffett songs. That is a good one. I am that weird anomaly, though, because I don't drink, but I do love a party. And I love being around people, as long as they're not, like, disgustingly drunk where they can't, like, function. I love being around people when they're drinking. I love a casual drink and hang. I just don't like when I'm put in a situation where I'm nervous about a friend who's deciding that they are all right enough to drive, and I, through my sober eyes, can tell that they are certainly not all right enough to drive and have to, like, become the mediary in that decision.
I love a good party. I love having drinks with friends, but being in a place with a lot of drunk people, being an NFL football parking lot before a game or a big festival where the crowd might be questionable, these are the things of nightmares to me. St. Patrick's Day in the south side of Pittsburgh. These things are places I want to be at least 5 miles away from.
I did a beer crawl one year for St. Patrick's Day with a group of friends. where they were doing like a beer bus thing and I was following behind in my car for when they were ready to just call it so I could like drive them home. And that shit started at like 10 in the morning. And by 2, I was just like, I'm going to just head home. You guys call me when you're ready. Because it was just, it was already obnoxious. And I was like, if this is how bad it is at 2, like when we get to the 4, 5, 6 o'clock portion of this, it's just going to get worse. So like two of the four people were like, I'm kind of ready to call it. So we went back to my apartment. We watched like Wet Hot American Summer and a couple other movies. And then eventually I drove them home and picked up the other two people who stuck with the bus until like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I agree with you. Those are like my own living hell. My dad is Mr. like, oh, it's St. Patrick's Day. I'm taking off of work. I'm waking up early. I'm going to the bar and I'm just like hanging out and socializing with people until my wife picks me up in the middle of the night. Yeah, I didn't get that gene from him apparently. So I'm with you. There's a certain level, right? Like house party, fun. Bar, or like you said, a festival. Hell no. Keep me as far away from it. That's why like music festivals appeal to me less and less and less every day, where I'm just like, no, thank you.
I won't go to a music festival unless I'm playing at it.
Which,
I don't care
note,
who's playing at it. I'm not going to go unless I'm playing at it because I don't want to be around all those people. Sorry. But sipping hooch around the campfire and reconnecting with our ancestors, that is something that has been enjoyable 99.9% of the times I've done it. The one exception I can think of where it was not as enjoyable as one time at my old house, there was this gigantic pile of tree branches and stuff, and they were very dry, and we decided to light them on fire mid-party. And it was the most giant fire you've ever seen. And I was real nervous because everyone was messing with me saying, oh man, the fire department's, I mean, I'm talking, it was stories high.
Yeah.
You know, you could definitely see this fire from miles around. And I was really nervous. Luckily, it pretty quickly died down. But that was the one exception I could think of where a campfire wasn't enjoyable.
You know, the song Hooch makes me even think of like, this song catches the vibe of like the time I came up and we record it during the summer and we went to like Johnny's pool for a night. You know what I mean? Like it absolutely catches that vibe of just like a couple good friends hanging out with some tunes, some swimming, like you said, a fire, just good times, just having good times with your buds. That's what the song is about at the end of the day. Not so much about the hooch, but it's about the people you got the hooch with.
It's about the hooch state of mind.
Yeah. But again, everything, throwing a couple more points their way on you know, they had this whole snafu with the record label merger, found themselves as an independent once again. They did release an independent album in 2001, toured a little bit before going on a very brief hiatus for about a year or two. And as far as I can tell, they're still a touring band. Now, Wikipedia has their last album as 2006, but Spotify has a cover EP that they put out last year, which was okay. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that the album cover on Spotify has their logo of that little lowercase e in the center of it, I would have thought that it was a different band name, everything that like loaded the song and it got associated to the wrong page, because it's very just guitar and jazzy drum influence versus, like I said, this album and a lot of the earlier albums do feel like a Dave Matthews Light type vibe. You've got like the horn section and you know, it's got a jam band-esque vibe to it.
On that cover EP, they did a very way less rockin' version of Elvis Costello, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding.
Yeah. Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong is on there.
Which rocks way less than Louis Armstrong's.
Yes, which
version
is impressive. Yeah. Not my favorite of theirs. I didn't mind the songs off of their 90s albums, but I was very underwhelmed by that EP, to be honest.
Did you watch the music video?
For Hooch?
Yes.
Of course. I mean, I used to watch the video when it would come on MTV as well. But yeah, it's a very 1998 pre September 11th music video. Very bright.
They do some dances in that video.
you gonna learn them? Maybe that's your next TikTok, as you bring back the Hooch dance trend.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Where did you land on this? Because I'm still like, I didn't hate when I had their music on, but I also, even in the moment, was very aware that I was not going to revisit anything by the band Everything.
So I really respect the fact that they apparently played 200 to 250 shows a year for a decade. Seems like they paid their dues. Seems like they're still a band. They had an almost hit. These are all things in the pro column, right?
Yeah, but like, just from a musical standpoint, how did you feel about the band?
I think they're terrible. I think this is one of the worst songs that we've done on this show. I think this is horrendous. It's absolutely garbage. I watched a video and I'm just like, I couldn't cringe harder watching these guys play. This song is terrible. This is a horrible song. It's an insult to Dave Matthews' Band, who I'm not really a Dave head, but it's an insult to compare this band to Dave Matthews' Band. This is a very bad band. This sounds like a guy who picked up an acoustic guitar at a college frat party and started playing it way too loud over in the corner. And it's just fluff. Like, I don't understand how you could play that many shows a year and be a band for that long, and this is what you make. I don't understand how Hooch is what you make.
I kind of agree with you to a certain extent. They're not the worst band I've ever heard, but they are definitely, you know, at the time that we're recording this, I besmirched the name of the Grateful Dead a little bit while we were recording that episode. And now I'm the proud owner of not one, but two Grateful Dead CDs that I picked up in the last week. So, you know, I kind of had a change of heart towards that band. I don't see that being the case with Everything. I think that at the most, Hooch will continue to show up on that 90s playlist and I'll enjoy it for the 2 or 3 minutes that it's on. But I'm definitely not going to run out and make sure that I have their full album in my collection. I'm definitely not going to be like, hey, you know what song needs to be on that party playlist? Hooch. Get that on there. But I don't hate this. I think we've done worse. I don't think that this is worse than that Hoobastank song in my mind. not that that's the highest bar that we've ever set. I mean, I guess we'll get into it. Thunder or Blunder. I'm going to have to go with a blunder on this one.
Yeah, this is a blunder. This is a bad song. This is not a good band. I don't understand how you play that many shows and be a band for that long. And this is what you got. And the music video only made it all the worse. It was very bad.
You know, I've said it before on this show, but Chris, the poker face that you have sometimes of just holding those cards to your chest until we get to the very end. Sometimes it sounds like you love a song, and then at the 0 hour, you let the true feelings come out. And other times, you spend 30 minutes shitting on a song, and then you're like, yeah, I kind of like it. I'm going to give it a thunder.
Well, the true test, Matt, will be we're hanging out, we'll put on Hooch, and have a few, I'll sip a little Hooch, listen to Hooch, and then in the event that I discover something about this song, maybe connect with an ancestor, something, I will absolutely do a retraction on One Hit Thunder and retract my blunder if that's the case. But for now, I think this is a very bad song.
All right, well, I think your homework, before we get to episode 149, when we decide to rank the songs of the year, you'll have to do the Hooch while listening to Hooch experiment just to see if it does anything for you, so that you're making sure that it gets ranked properly. Because right now I'm getting a very strong vibe, and just thinking of the songs we've done this year, Hooch has a strong chance of being at the very bottom for the year, I think.
We'll see.
I'm thinking about all the other songs we've covered before and what's on the lineup, and it ain't looking good for everything. It's not there. It's not going to be their year.
Not the year of the hooch.
I'm waiting for you to say I know you better than you think. But did I play?
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Vitalius of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Record off the Rewind EP by Punchline. Visit punchline.com for merch, tour dates, and news. Do you want to start your own podcast? Then contact Chris and I at weknowpodcasting.com for how we can make your show sound as professional as possible. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app, and tune in next week for another episode of One Hit Thunder.
Well, yeah, wait for me. Well, yeah, wait for me. Well, yeah, wait for me. Well, yeah, wait for me now.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective. The only podcast you crank up to 11.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast.